Welcome to the First Pres Sermon Podcast, where each week we dive into Scripture, wrestle with truth, and discover how faith intersects our lives. God's Word meets us where we are, challenging, shaping, and calling us into something greater. No matter where you are on your journey, you belong here, and we're praying that this sermon might help you take a next step in faith towards Jesus. Hey, let's dive into today's message together.
Good morning, church. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you to gather. It's been a hard and a rough week. It's good to be gathered in the name of the Lord and know that he's right here with us, that we are established in him. Amen. We're in his presence. So we're starting a new series called How to Get What You Want. And so I encourage you to, would you open your Bibles? Open your Bibles up to Psalm 37, right in the dead middle of your Bible, Psalm 37. And or navigate on your phone. Let's get the Word of God in front of us. Our scripture today is Psalm 37, 1 through 9. And so as we open up our Bibles, let's open up our hearts in prayer. Father in heaven, we know that unless you speak to us, we sit here in silence. That unless you shed your light, we sit here in darkness. And so send your Holy Spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit on this place, that as we read the scriptures, we're not reading a dead letter. We're listening to your voice. We're hearing you call us. And in hearing you call us, we trust and we believe and we live. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. Psalm 37. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed. Those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Oz Guinness is someone I've admired and followed for most of my life. And he has begun saying in our times about our seasons that we are in a civilizational moment. What's that? He said, as you study civilizations all through history, civilizations rise and civilizations fall. And he says, we're in this moment now where Western civilization is making a decision. Will we remain firmly seated on our foundational values, the foundations that brought us to where we are today, that gave us the society and civilization that we enjoy? Or will we divorce ourselves from those and topple over? I think in a lot of ways he's right. Whether or not you knew the name Charlie Kirk before he was assassinated on Wednesday, whether you knew his name or not, I can tell you that the rising generation knows his name. Gen Z, millennial, Gen Alpha, this is a rising voice. We didn't know the name Elena Zarutska or the names of the kids of Evergreen High School. This has been a hard week for our nation, a hard week. And we ask, okay, what's up underneath? Where's the foundation? What's up underneath my feet? It does feel like a watershed moment. This feels like a really key moment for us. It feels, as a spiritual leader, I feel it. This is a moment. Things are changing. And what we need to do in this moment is we need to lean in and have those conversations with one another. We need to care for one another. We need to understand what's going on, and we need to pray deeply, and we need to recommit ourselves to Jesus Christ. Because come what may, brothers and sisters in Christ, come what may, church, our foundation is built upon the rock. Our feet below us, our feet are standing on the rock. The rock that Jesus said is to hear and obey the word of God. He said, if you want to build your house on the rock, you hear and obey the word of God. And our feet are on that rock. Our feet are on that firm foundation. And what we need to do is to be the people of God who know that come what may, no matter what happens in the world, what happens in Western civilization, we are up. We are standing on the rock of Jesus Christ. Our feet are firmly established. And the kingdom of God is on the way. We need to be those who can stand up and stand up for the dignity of every human life and say it matters just that a person was made in the image of God and every life is valuable. And we need to be those people who can go out there and say, look, we know this world is not as it should be. We know that there's a problem and it needs fixed. But we also know this, the kingdom of God, though it has not come yet, it has been established and it is on the way. For Jesus Christ came and he lived and he died and he rose again to guarantee that one day everything will be put right in his name. Amen. I'm telling you, church, the world needs you to be standing on the firm foundations of Jesus. Don't fret, David said. Don't fret when you see evildoers prosper. Don't fret when evil schemes even come to pass. Don't fret. Why? Why? Why shouldn't I? Because God is on his throne. Because God is bigger than it all. Because God is sovereign. And his kingdom, though it is not here, it is on the way. And every time we gather in this place, every time we gather up with other believers, we are rehearsing that kingdom. We are practicing the dance steps. We are tasting the kingdom that is on its way. And it will come. It will come. It will come. So don't fret, says David. Don't fret. Even when it looks like things are going the wrong direction. None of us likes to look like a fool, right? Nobody likes to look like a fool. None of us wants to be embarrassed, feeling like somebody else is making it further than we are. Nobody likes to look like a fool. Abigail says that I have a propensity, a special gift for finding the fastest line at the store or at the TSA, you know, through the security check, she says, you pick the line. You always pick the fat. Well, here's why. It's because I can't handle it when someone who's come behind me picks another line and gets finished before I'm done. I can't do it. And so I have trained myself in a very special set of skills. And I pick the right, I don't like to look like a fool. And that's what David is talking about in here. How come some people, they prosper, some people, they seem to be all the way out here and I'm all the way back here and I don't understand, Lord, how it happens. And isn't that interesting? Isn't that powerful? This song, this psalm, this prayer journal written 3,000 years ago, could have been written yesterday, right? None of us likes to look like a fool. Why do the evil prosper? Why does evil get away with it? This is a new series, How to Get What You Want, looking at the longings of the human heart, longings that are not so different whether you were King David 3,000 years ago or a follower of Jesus in Jerusalem or you're sitting in Colorado Springs today. The human heart has longings. The human heart has hungers. We have these gaps that need filled. As Bruce Springsteen said, everybody's got a hungry heart, right? And that's true. And these hungers that we have, these inherent desires, inherent to human nature, we've all got them. Some call it like a God-shaped hole. And we try to fill that need. We try to fill that gap with all sorts of different things. We all have the same longings. We long to be loved. We long to be valued. We long to make a difference in the world. We long to know peace and justice and to know purity. And when these things go unmet, these desires in our heart, we start grasping, we start pulling at things to try to satisfy, and they don't satisfy. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope delayed makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life." What if your desires could be fulfilled? Church, that's what I want. I want the tree of life. And I want that for you. I want it for you. I want you to know the tree of life where desires are fulfilled. What does God do with what we want? What does God do with our desires, the desires of the heart? People are searching to meet these desires. I was referred to an article in the New York Times of a popular contemporary author, and she's not a believer, she's not a Christian, but she writes about trying to find her higher power. She said, "I'm tired of this hookup culture in New York City. I want to find my higher power." And she says, "I've wanted a higher power to provide that same narcotic delight one feels in the early stages of a relationship when you meet a new person. In those rare white light moments when I have felt a holy bliss," she said, "I've kind of wanted to keep it. I wanted to grasp it. So I've quickly purchased a candle or a crystal, hoping to pocket the feeling." People are searching, they're longing. The things they're finding are not satisfying. She talks about going to Paris and wandering into a church and sitting and waiting to hear from the Lord. She didn't hear a thing. People are longing. And if they can't find it in the way that they're searching for it, they start grasping at all kinds of different things. If I can't be truly loved, if I can't really be loved and valued, at least I can have 1,000 likes on Instagram. If I can't really have peace inside, true peace, well, at least I could sign up for yoga, or I can do some centering, or I can do something. I can try to cart it in from the outside. If I can't be pure, if I can't really be pure, at least my food and my water can be. You ever see that? I mean, this interest, see, there's this longing for purity, and it's working itself out. These longings, they work themselves out in all kinds of different ways. If I can't have a lasting legacy, at least I'll try to have a big bank account. If I can't find justice in the way that I see justice, well, I'll go all in for politics or God forbid, take up violence. See, these things, these are desires that we have, and they're not bad desires. They're good desires, but we seek to satisfy them in all the wrong ways. We seek all the wrong things to try to fill them out. What are we supposed to do with these desires? Well, you could be like that woman, you know. Go buy a candle. There's a lot of candle shops in town. There's a lot of crystal shops in town. Have you seen them? You can go buy a crystal. Or you can go on Etsy, where you can pay $200 to have someone cast a spell on your behalf. Did you know that? Yes, somebody said over here. That's true. This is a multi-million dollar industry in America today. This is, people are getting rich off of this. Please don't do that. These things, they're not working. They don't satisfy. David was worried that people are getting ahead, they're getting what they want while he's being left behind. Verse 1. "Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away." It might look like they're moving faster. It might look like their spells are working. It might look like their lane is going faster than your lane. It might feel like they're, but they are like, well, the images of flowers in Jerusalem, that in Jerusalem, these beautiful flowers can spring up, but one hot blast of wind in the afternoon burns them down. It's not going to last. They're like cut flowers. They're already cut off from the source of life, and they're just waiting for the color to fade. So as for you who know the Lord, what are we to do? Trust in the Lord, verse 3, and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Or verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. And he will do this. What will he do? He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. You know what that means? That means you will not be a fool in the end for doing it God's way. Trust in him. Wait for him. Believe and watch. It reminds me of that proverb, Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Wait for God to act, it says. Verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. You don't need to worry. You don't need to get all spun up in this. You don't need to give yourself over to negative thoughts of resentment and envy and anger. Verse 8, refrain from anger. Don't get mad. And turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. You don't need to get spun up in all this useless frustration about it. Do not fret. I've been thinking all morning, I think if that were written in our times, it would just say, do not go on Facebook. Not right now. Just don't do it. Of course, we use Facebook. We use social media. We put the gospel out as far as we can. I'm not a fool. And you're wise. You make your own decisions. Don't go to these places where you're just getting spun up with anger and resentment and rage and envy and there's nothing you can do about it. It's out there and you can't change it. And somebody's saying that. You said that and now you're at attack and you're... Guys, do not fret. It only leads to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed. But those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. You see, what's happening is we get in this mindset where it's as if we're de facto atheists. It's like we're living in a world without God. It's like we really believe we're just playing this game without referees. We're just running this without, there's no judge in heaven. God doesn't see me. He doesn't know what I do. And God doesn't seem to be watching because this person's out there prospering and I'm way back here for doing it God's way. You've got to wait on the Lord. Trust in the Lord. No matter who you're thinking of, the most powerful, most prosperous, most successful person in the world, I don't know who your heroes are. You know, whoever's out in front. Like Travis Kelce, is he out there in front of you? Or Taylor Swift, they're going to be like, you know. Justin Bieber, I'm just throwing names out there now. I'm just throwing names. Who's out there in front of you? And you think, why are they getting so far ahead? Or even, you know, like just anybody, think of like Vladimir Putin or Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk. You think, who are these people that are running? Or maybe it's somebody... Maybe it's actually somebody more close to you. Maybe there's somebody in your circle, somebody you work with, and you watch them get ahead. You watch them take next steps. You watch them get promoted, make more than you. Think, why, Lord, when they're taking these shortcuts, and I'm doing it your way, why does evil prosper? Why does their way win? Listen to me. The most powerful, most prosperous person in the world, the person who seems to have everything going their way, who seems to be winning the game in all the ways that you can win the game, who seem to be getting everything they want for doing all the wrong things and all the wrong reasons. None of them is beyond the sovereign power of God. Remember, God is over all. He sees all. The sovereign rule of the Lord, it applies to every single man and woman. Every person on the most powerful, the most prominent, the most those who succeed at their evil, God is over them. They are living on borrowed time, in borrowed space, borrowed from the common grace of God that sustains us all. And God will make it right in the end. See, so trust in the Lord. Wait in the Lord. God will set things right. Trust. But we skipped a verse. Verse 4, and this is our verse today. Would you read this with me, church? Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What am I going to do with the desires of my heart? Take delight in the Lord, it says. Take delight in the Lord. And the Hebrew is enjoy the deliciousness of God. It's like taste how good God is. It's like Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. It's I want to delight in the Lord. This is beyond knowing the Lord. This is beyond even trusting the Lord. It's beyond even faith in the Lord. This is I want to take delight in who God is. I want to taste. I want the deliciousness of God. I want to be seeped in it. I want to trust him and love him and put him above all things. Delight in the Lord. And then delight in the Lord and he will what? He will give you the desires of your heart. Well, all right. We solved it. We found the trick, right? Love God a lot. Give God all kinds of delight. Make sure your heart is really bubbly with delight in the Lord. And guess what? Do that, and you will get whatever you want. Do you believe me? What? I got your attention, didn't I? Yeah. Not so fast. In the famous words of Coach Lee Corso, not so fast, my friends. Kind of. What? You can take this verse now. See, take this verse. We're going to go in two directions with it. Same text, same page, same words on the page. There's two meanings here. And it does mean both of these things. One meaning is God will give you good things. He will give you good things. God loves to. Your life is filled with the blessings and the gifts of God. God is a father in heaven who loves to bestow good gifts on his children. Jesus was teaching in Matthew 7, and he said this. He said, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Here, eat this. Which of you, if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven could give good gifts to those who ask him? Yes, God loves to give good gifts. Yes, prayer changes things. Yes, God loves to bestow his blessings on us as we seek him for them and give him thanks and praise. Absolutely. There's a second meaning. If you put your delight in God above all things, your heart will begin to change. He will change your desires. He will change what you want. God will give you the desires of your heart, you see. He will give you new desires for good and godly and noble and beautiful things. He will change the very desires that are within you because you, if you're honest, you didn't even know it, you were wanting a snake. You were wanting stone instead of bread. And God's going to change your heart. He's going to change the very desires of your heart until you want the bread of life in Jesus. Augustine of Hippo, church father years ago, great theologian, philosopher, he put it this way. He said, ordinate in me caritatem. Ordinate in me caritatem. I didn't say it right either time. Ordinate in me caritatem. And we all take a deep breath and say, Order my loves. Order the loves that are in me. Put them in order, God. See, Augustine says it's not enough just to say, God, give me what I want. You've got to trust God to change what you want. Order my loves within me, God. Make my love, put them in a different order. Let me love you above all things and everything else. Let me love in a proper order, in the way that you love and order them, God. I trust you to order my very desires. Change me from within. Give me, you see, the desires of my heart. Because God, when my desires are out of order, when things are out of whack, the worst kinds of things happen. Lord, order my desires. Church, this is how you actually get what you want. This is how you land at the tree of life. This is how you find a desire fulfilled. Trust the Lord to change the very things you want. Say, how do I do that? It is possible. It is possible. Did you know that through the miracles of modern science, it is possible to make you like kale? You believe me? Yeah? It's called taste bud training. And this is what you do. Because your taste buds regenerate every two weeks, entirely regenerate, this is all you need to do. For 2 weeks, eat kale. Just eat nothing but kale and don't eat anything more delicious than kale. That's all you gotta do. And for 2 weeks, just do that. And your taste buds are regenerating. And soon, you know, your very taste buds, they're happy with kale. They're like, well, that's better than dirt. And I'm not an expert at this, but this is what I understand. So you try it, you tell me how it works, okay? But the point is made. You can change. You can change in ways that you never thought could be made possible. You can change in the desires of your heart, in the depths of your very soul, in the dark reaches of what's inside of you, of what you desire, what you want, what comforts you, what brings you solace, what brings you peace, what brings you joy, what do you delight in. God can change the very desires of your heart and can shift them around so that no longer are you chasing after snakes and stones? You're feeding on the bread of life. Isaiah said, come to me. Come all who are thirsty. Come to the waters. You who have no money, come and buy and eat. Come. Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why, look at this, why spend your money on what is not bread? Your labor on what does not satisfy. Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Where is the tree of life? Where do these desires come home? You know the answer. It's in Jesus. Jesus who said, come to me. Come to me. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Come to me. Come to me, says Jesus. Not to what I can do for you. Not to the blessings that I've given you. Not to the things that are said about. Come to me. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never grow hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Don't take a stone to eat. Don't expect a snake. Stop going after the poison. Stop going after the trash. Enough of that. Come to me, he says. I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. I'm the true vine, says Jesus. Turn to me. You don't have to live your life like cut flowers. You don't have to live your life detached, just wondering if you'll get enough shine, enough color before it all fades away. You can abide in me. I am the true vine, the living vine. My Father's the vine dresser. Hold on, abide, and you'll know the fullness of life pouring through you, building up in you, bearing fruit to eternal life. Come to me, says Jesus. I'm the gate. Pass through me. Whoever enters through me will be saved for eternal life. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection. I am the way and the truth and the life. Come to me, says Jesus. What do you want? Stop chasing the trash. Stop fretting over all the evil in the world. Jesus says, come on, come home to me. Desire fulfilled is a tree of life. The tree of life is Jesus Christ, who came and who died and who rose again. Come to me. I want to give you a minute to turn to Jesus. You see, this is a big room. There's a lot of people here. There's room for more. I encourage you to invite people to join us on this journey. But a room this size, a people this size, I know a lot of you. I don't know all of you. I tell you what, I know there's somebody in this room who's sitting there wondering, have I passed through that gate of salvation? Have I attached to the vine that Jesus is talking about? Have I put my feet on that way? Am I established on the rock? You can be right now. You can be. All it is to open your heart to Jesus Christ, to turn to him. So I want to give you that time, that opportunity. Because this is not just a gathering of people. This is the children of God in the presence of Jesus, the living Savior. He's here. He's in this room. He knows you. He loves you. He's been with you, watching you, and he's brought you right to this moment. I encourage you to close your eyes, bow your heads. If we can just close our eyes and bow our heads, I want to give us time to pray and to turn to Jesus Christ. And just follow, just in the silence of your heart as I pray up here, this is a moment. Turn to the Lord. Jesus, what a world we're living in. What my eyes have seen. Lord, I'm tired of chasing after the wrong things. I'm tired of swallowing snakes. I'm tired of chewing on stones. Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart. Fill my soul with the bread of life. Establish my feet on your path. Let me walk through the gate of salvation, Jesus. Usher me in now. Name me yours. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. You are my life. Jesus, come. And may all of us as a church, may we be the people whose feet are so secure on your rock that come what may, we know we belong to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hearing God's word is just the beginning. What connected with you? What challenged you today? Maybe it's surrendering something, stepping into community, or simply trusting him more deeply. Whatever it is, don't leave it for later. Act on it today. We're praying that this message moves you closer to Jesus, and we'd love to walk with you in that journey and answer any questions you've got. Connect with us by visiting firstprescos.org. Hey, if today's message encouraged you, take a moment and subscribe so you never miss an episode, and share it with someone who needs to hear it. Check in next week, and we'll continue to grow in our faith together. See you next time.